1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Father, thank you for your word. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just teach us and make it a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, earlier in 1 John, a lot of 1 John is really just how to know that you're saved. I know in the Gospel of John, that we started with way back when we started over going through the Bible again, John tells us why he wrote it. He says he wrote it that you can know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. So it was written to know that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. He's the Messiah. Now, 1 John to me is how can you know that you're saved through Jesus Christ? How do you know? How do you see that? Well, earlier he said, you know because you keep his commandments. They're not grievous to you. You want to. You love God. You love Jesus. And you keep his commandments. You're obedient. That's how you know that you're saved. Not that you're perfect. Make mistakes. But the tenseness of your life, the direction of your life, is that you're keeping God's commandments. Because you want to. Because you love him. That's what you want to do. Now, he's telling us that we can know we're saved because we love the brethren. We love other Christians. 1 John 2, verse 7 says, brethren, that means he's speaking to Christians, believers, followers of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. John said, I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know. This isn't some new commandment I've come up with. This has been there always from the beginning. The commandment to love one another has been around a long time. Well, yeah, it has. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Well, that's been around a long time since God gave the law. There's Deuteronomy. Jesus Christ quotes it. Also, Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. What did Jesus Christ say when they asked him, what's the great commandment? That's what he quoted, wasn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On such, all the law and the prophets hang on that. That's what Jesus Christ said. It's an old commandment. This is nothing new. God has said from the beginning that we're to love one another. We're to love God. We're to love others. What are the Ten Commandments all about? Loving God. So know the gods before me. Shall make any graven image. Thou shalt take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's the first four. The transition is the fifth. Honor thy father and mother. And then, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There it is. There it is. It's all there. If we love our neighbor, you don't really have to worry about all the picky details, do you? I mean, even the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't even quote the whole Ten Commandments. He just said, love God. Well, if you love God, then you're not going to be making idols. You're not going to be worshiping someone else. You're not going to be disobeying him. If you love your parents, as you love God, you're going to honor them and obey them. If you love your neighbor, you're sure not going to kill him. And that's not really a problem if you love him, right? You're not going to steal his stuff either. You're not going to try to run off with his wife, because you wouldn't do that to your neighbor if you love him. So there it is, love him. That's what John is talking about. So they call John the Apostle of Love. Love occurs, and there's like slightly over 100 verses in the book of John, and 24 of them have the word love in them. You know, he says it's all over the place, and it's always the agape love, the selfless love, like Christ came. When Jesus came, what did he do? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. He loved us. And so John is saying we should love one another. It's not a new commandment. It's an old commandment. Been around since Moses. There it is. So do it. There's something wrong if you don't love your brethren. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. But wait a minute, John. Make up your mind. You just told me it was an old commandment. Well, it is an old commandment, but it's also a new commandment. John 13:34, Jesus Christ himself said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, why is it new? What's new about loving one another? He already said to love your neighbor as yourself. It's new because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and showed us how to love the brethren. How did he love the brethren? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. He said, not only do you love people by treating them the way you'd want to be treated. Well, that's a good rule to treat people. How would I want to be treated? Well, usually I want to be treated pretty well. I want to be honored and pampered and spoiled and, you know, everything else. But he even goes beyond that. He said, you should love like Jesus Christ loved. You should even love them more than yourself. You're willing to lay your life down for another. That's what Jesus Christ did. He laid his life down that we might be forgiven our sins. And I'd say that makes it new. It's also new because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, it's not just us trying to love our neighbor, but Christ is now in us. He says, which thing is true in him, in Jesus Christ, he loved us, and in you. Why is it in you? Because Jesus Christ is now in our heart through the Holy Spirit. We've got it better than David, than Isaiah, than Daniel, than even John the Baptist. Why? Because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we should be able to love in a greater way because the way God has loved us, and let his love shine out through us. So it is a new commandment also, which is true in Jesus Christ, and it's true in us, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Well, the darkness. First of all, darkness came into the world when man disobeyed. When Adam broke God's law and disobeyed and man fell from his perfect relationship with God, then we've had sin, we've had suffering, we've had all these things go on. But God promised to send a Savior. Right there in Genesis 3, he promised that he would send a Savior to redeem us from that. Well, the Savior's come now. The Savior's died, paid the price for your sins, and he's resurrected back to heaven. So now we've got a fuller picture of this. We were in darkness. We didn't really know what God was doing. But now that darkness is past. Paul often calls it a mystery, a mysterion, because we didn't know. I mean, you can read Genesis 3, and God said, you know, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, but you know, that's kind of vague. But now we know this is how God was going to accomplish it. God knew, but he slowly revealed it to us. He accomplished it by sending his own Son in the form of man, yet without sin, to pay the price for us. So now we know. We're no longer in darkness. We understand how God loved us, and we have his life restored to us, just like Adam had. He fellowshiped with God daily until he fell. We can now again have that same fellowship with God, and it ought to shine through us. Jesus said, out if you said, I give you the new commandment, you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He didn't say, if you are uber orthodox, men will know that you're my disciple. If your doctrine is just exactly right. He didn't even say by your knowledge of Scripture, they'll know you're my disciples. How does the world know that we're followers of Jesus Christ? Because we truly love one another the way Jesus Christ loved us. That's the ultimate sign. I'm all for good, solid doctrine. I'm all for good Bible knowledge. But if we don't love one another, then we're not showing Jesus Christ. Because what he came and did is he loved us. He demonstrated his love. That's what draws men unto him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. Well, how was he lifted up? He was lifted up on a cross. There, shedding his blood for our sins. And when we give our lives for others, we are demonstrating his love. Yes, get your doctrine right. Yes, get your Bible knowledge right, but ultimately it comes down to how well we love others. That's how Jesus Christ manifests himself. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Somebody can stand up and say, I'm in the light. They can quote chapter after chapter of Bible. They can give you all this great doctrinal whatever. They can set all these rules and that, but you know, if they don't love people, it's not real. And I'm afraid there's people like that. It's easy to be that way. We make sure we're doctrinally right. We know all the right things. We say all the right things. But if we don't live that way, then the light really isn't in us. Because if Jesus Christ really is in your heart, he's going to change it. And he loves your neighbor. And he's going to teach you to love your neighbor. So no matter what we say, which John's dealing with a lot of heresies in there, so them that are the Gnostics, they're the ones that think you're part of the elect because you have special knowledge. We have this knowledge of God. That's what makes it true. There's some people, other places, that say, you know you're a believer because you manifest it by speaking in unknown tongues. People have other criteria. But guess what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you really are his, you're going to love your brother. Now, you may not always be happy with him. It happens. Other believers can be abrasive. They can be obnoxious. They can be unthinking. They can just not be your kind of person. And you know, you don't always have to be crazy about everybody, but you do have to love them. Which loving them means you care about their best interest. You do what's right for them. You don't build up a bitterness. The bitterness turns into a hatred, and that hatred winds up overflowing out our mouths. We can say some pretty nasty things sometimes. It seems like it comes out more maybe among teenagers and kids, but sometimes as grown-ups, we just know to keep our mouth shut when we think it. I just hate you. I wish you were dead. Something like that. Those words should never even come to our mind. We should never think that about another. If it's somebody that's awful and an unbeliever, don't say, I wish you were dead. Because that's like saying, I wish you were in hell. You can say, I wish you'd repent. I wish you'd accept Jesus Christ. I wish you'd change your way so you can go to heaven. But you don't wish they were dead. Not at all. I hate you. Say, I hate you. Where did that come from? Does God hate any of us? He doesn't even hate the wicked. He's angry with the wicked, but he doesn't hate them. He loves them so much that Christ died not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. I say he loved them. So we need to love them. So if we don't love one another, then we're in darkness. We think we see where we're going, but guess what? We don't. Have you ever done that? You wake up in the middle of the night, you think, eh, I've lived in this house for 20 years. I know where everything is. I'm not flipping on the light. And you run right into something. Exactly. I always remember Bill Cosby had a routine that I thought was really funny. He talked about, not all of his were appropriate, but this one was clean. And he talked about the battle between the body parts, you know. You get up and then the mind says to the head, oh no, don't flip that light switch on. I know my way around. And the toes are down. They're going, no, no, turn on the light. You know, we don't want to do this again. You know, turn that light on. Well, that's what you're doing, is you're in darkness. If you really hate your brother, then you really don't have the light of Christ in your life. You need to look at it. You know, Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 13, if I do all these extreme things, if I give myself to be martyred, if I can do all these things, I can prophesy, I can pray, I can speak in tongues, I can do all that, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. That's what Christianity is about. Now, doesn't mean we shouldn't have good doctrine and all these things. We do. But the thing that shows us as Christians is love, especially for other Christians. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Because that's what the light is. Jesus Christ says, I'm the light of the world. Did Jesus Christ love his brothers? He sure did. Did Jesus Christ love Peter? Even when Peter mouthed off too much and Peter said the wrong things and Peter denied him three times, did he love Peter? He sure did. We know John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. What about Judas? Did Jesus love Judas? He did. He did. He told Judas, even when it was coming down to the Last Supper, he said, all right, what you have to do, go and do it quickly. When he came and kissed him, it's like, you're going to betray me with a kiss? Think if Judas would have just said, Lord, what I believe that even there in the garden, when Judas shows up with the armed mob and he went to kiss him, if Judas would have just said, Lord, I've done wrong. Forgive me for what I've done. I think Jesus Christ would have forgiven him right then and there. But he didn't do it. I think Jesus would have forgiven him when he went out to that field and hung himself. If he would have just stopped and said, Lord, forgive me for what I've done, he would have forgiven him. Jesus loved Judas. So if we love our brethren, all we're doing is we're just reflecting the light of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ loves them. You only have to love people that Jesus loves. Okay, you don't have to love everybody, just everybody Jesus loves, but I'm afraid that's everybody. And there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Well, that's what we need, not to stumble, right? To fall is the light. We need to see where we're going. And the way we know where we're going is when we stand in Jesus' love and allow him to direct our steps. Then we're going the right way. If we deny that, we've gotten out of the light. The light's still there, but we've gotten out of it. And when you get out of the light, you're going to trip over something. You're going to hurt yourself. In Psalm 119, verse 165, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the same thing as stumbling. Okay, something will cause them to stumble. When you love God's ways, when you love God, it keeps you out of trouble. I forget what the quote was from, but somebody said, if you really want to hurt your enemy, teach him to hate somebody. Because it does more harm to us than the person we hate. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. I mean, John's just pretty blunt. So if you think about it, you look around, and you think, is there anybody that I really just hate? Not somebody that irritates you when they're around, but you just hate them. You really wish bad things had happened to them. Then you're walking in darkness. You're not walking in light. And John's telling you that because he wants you to walk in the light. He wants you to be saved. If you're not saved, he wants you to know it so that you can repent and get saved. But if we really just hate our brother, there's something wrong with us. Walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. It does. It makes you so blind. I've seen so many people that are bitter with hatred, and they are just blind. They can't see. For one thing, they probably could turn it around and have a good friend there. But no, they're too busy being bitter and all the harm it does, and they will just hurt themselves to no end trying to hurt this person they hate. And sometimes the person they hate doesn't even know it. They have no idea, but the person that hates is just eaten up with it. They're miserable, they're upset, it's just driving them crazy. Not hurting the person that they hate one bit. We're blind. Yeah. As I read before, Jesus said, your greater love had no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what we're here to do. We're here to give our lives to help these people. And when you love somebody, you don't even have to like them, but you still do what you can for their best interest. Okay? They may be obnoxious. They may be irritating, but you try to help them. I remember, I mean, I've told it before, but when I was in high school, there was a guy named Chuck Perry. And I always remember he was another Perry, so, you know, knew that. I'd known who his father was. His father used to be a defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. You know, that was a big deal. His dad was a professional football player, but he had a clothing store in town. He was retired. And Chuck was a real tall fellow, real tall, gangly, just wasn't the big football player like his dad was. His dad was built like a defensive end, you know, this and that. But Chuck was kind of tall and gangly, this and that. But he found his knack in high jumping. He was a great high jumper. And I believe it was his junior year in high school. He won state in high jump. And that was a big deal. Now, Chuck was kind of the braggart kind. And everybody's like, oh, no. I remember in the cafeteria the day he was coming back, everybody's like, Chuck is going to be insufferable. He's going to brag, and Brad's going to drive us crazy, you know. And so Chuck walks up, and one of the guys that was there, he walked up to Chuck and said, Chuck, you know, that is something, that is really an accomplishment. You won state in high jump, and I think you ought to get to brag all you want for the next couple of weeks. You know, I just think that's really something. Chuck never said one word about what he did. He didn't brag. He didn't nothing. Why? Because somebody had said, you did something good. That's good. Proud of you. Happy for you. That satisfied Chuck. Chuck was perfectly content then. He didn't have to blow his own horn one bit. Not one bit. Well, when you love somebody, you care about them. You care about their best interest. And, you know, people are starving for that. We're just starving because this is it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Somebody said, you know, it's dog-eat-dog and vice versa. You know, it's just, this is a tough one. And it is. Everybody's out for their own. You know, if you like somebody, it's usually, what can you do for me? The people you associate with and make friends, well, it's because they're the right crowd or because they've got the right business connections or whatever. That's who we make friends of, the people that do us good. But that's not what Jesus did. First place, there wasn't anybody on this whole earth that could do him any good. He went to the people that needed him. And that's what he says, we're here to be his representative. We're here to share his love with other people. And it seems like our world is pretty hard, pretty against Christianity. And they are. They sure don't like the stands because the church takes a stand against things that we believe are unbiblical, against homosexual marriage and against murder and against abortion and various things. And that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And I think it's right. We need to stand for the things that are scriptural. But there's more to it than that. We can't just be known for what we're against. We have to be known for what we're for. And what are we really for? We're really for people to get to know the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to share. And that, I believe, particularly, will be what touches people's hearts. You know, if you meet somebody that's into some kind of sin, he's taking illegal drugs or he's doing something else, and you go reprimand him real good about that, you're probably not going to get anywhere. He probably already knows it's wrong, and he either knows it's wrong and he's just having trouble dealing with it, or he's very defensive about it. You know, it's his deal, and he didn't want to hear it. You know, I knew one guy when my first job, when I was in high school, and worked at a plumbing supply warehouse, and one of the men there, boy, you didn't mention smoking. He was sensitive to smoking. Well, the reason he was so touchy about smoking, I found out later, is he smoked some things that were illegal too. Yeah, so he was very touchy about this. So griping at him about his smoking wasn't going to reach him anywhere. But if we demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, that can penetrate some pretty hard hearts. You know, I'm not here to condemn you for the things you do. I'm here to tell you that, yes, I believe what you're doing is wrong, but that Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to save you and deliver you from your sinful behavior. Maybe they'll reject you. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll hear it. But that's what he says. He says we need to love, especially the brethren. Especially the brethren. And
Sometimes that's harder, too. It seems like that's who we're around, that's who we irritate. It seems like if you really try to do something for the Lord, you'll probably get more opposition from the church than you will anywhere else, because you're not doing it the way we've always done it, or you're not doing it whatever. But there's certainly no excuse for not loving the other children of God. Okay, now, and our families, probably most of the fighting you do is with your own family, right? Your own brothers and sisters. You're the one you're with, the one you whatever. But we're family in the end. I learned one thing. If you see two brothers fighting, stay out of it. They may fight like cats and dogs, but if you get in the middle, they'll both turn on you. Because they're brothers. They're family. And we should love even our more irritable brothers because they're family. They know Jesus Christ too. And we should all be having the same goal and going the same direction. We're falling in the same head. Sometimes that gets off. We get off our own ways. But that's why it was such a convicting reminder when Dr. Branham would say, well, we disagree on this issue. Why don't, before we discuss this any further, why don't we get on our knees and seek the Lord on this? Because the church has one head, right? We may have different ways we think of doing things, but if we're all seeking the same head, we should be heading the same direction. So, John just tells us, if you want to know you're saved, first he said, look at your life. Are you keeping Jesus Christ's commandments? Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you doing what he said? If you're not, then there's a problem. Second sign, do you love other Christians? Well, yeah, I love some of them. He didn't say that. You got to love all of them. Because Jesus Christ loves all of them. He loves them enough that he laid down his life. And if we love Jesus Christ, then we're going to love them too. Even, not because they're, well, if they would just act more Christ-like, I would love them. Well, Jesus Christ loved them, loved us when we weren't very Christ-like. We need to love them where they are. And then try to love them into being more Christ-like, if that's what God wants to call them to. But that's the sign also, not because of their merits, again, because what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you don't have to forgive them any more than he's forgiven you. So there we are. So if we love them, we're being Christ-like. If we don't, that's a warning sign. We're in darkness. And if we're in darkness, we're blinded. And when you're walking around blinded, you're going to get hurt.